Now to the book of Acts. Chapter 1, I read verse 10 and I read verse 11 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for this great and glorious opportunity that we have. We thank Thee for the privilege of sharing. We thank Thee that we have a message to preach this morning, not from man, not by the will of man, but from Thee and by the will of Christ. We thank Thee for the blessed hope that we have of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom. As we consider His return and the resurrection and the rapture today, may our hearts burn within us in anticipation of that glad day when Jesus shall return. If there be those who are not ready for His coming, may they get ready today. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Today my message is entitled, The Return, the Resurrection, and the Rapture. This is the fourth in the series of seven messages under the heading, Look Up, Christian. Christ is coming. I have never felt more compelled of the Spirit to bring a series of messages than I have felt the compulsion of the Holy Spirit to bring these. The return, the resurrection, and the rapture. History is characterized by the events of outstanding days. For example, the day that God created man in His own image. What a day. The day that Noah entered into the ark to preserve the human race. What a day. The day that Moses received the Ten Commandments on top of Mount Sinai. What a day. The day that a boy named David was crowned king of Israel. What a day. The day that Elijah stepped on board a flaming chariot and God whisked him away to heaven. What a day. The day that the eternal Word became flesh and Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in a stable at Bethlehem. What a day. The day that the Lamb of God for sinners slain died on dark Calvary to wash away our sins. What a day. The day that Christ arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. What a day. The day that Peter preached his famous sermon on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were born into the kingdom and family of God. What a day. And I might add, they were baptized into the fellowship of the church. What a day. The day that Paul left Troas and sailed to Macedonia, which move resulted in the gospel coming to our shores. What a day. The day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the chapel door and said, I shall not recant, so help me God, here I stand. And that lighted the torch of the Reformation. What a day. The day that the pilgrims landed on these shores to build a nation under God. What a day. But beloved, the greatest day of all time, the day of all days, the red letter day of history. The day toward which our hearts beat, the day for which our souls long and for our eyes to be yearning upon the skies, is the day of the return of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a day that shall be. Amen. The prophets prophesied His return. The apostles preached His return. Jesus Himself promised His return. I go to prepare a place for you, said He. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The angels proclaimed his return. The words of my text declare, this same Jesus, whom you see taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. This same Jesus, this same Jesus whose birth the angels heralded in majestic song that's been heard around the world. This same Jesus whose wisdom at age 12 confounded the doctors of law in the temple in Jerusalem. This same Jesus whose compassion moved him to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop the deaf ears, to unloose the dumb tongues, to raise the dead to live again. This same Jesus. This same Jesus whose death on the cross brings eternal life to all who will believe. This same Jesus whose resurrection from the dead brought life and immortality to light. This same Jesus who ascended into the heaven, giving us a guarantee of our entry into the glory world of the celestial city of God. This same Jesus whom you see go away shall so come in like manner. I'm not talking to you about what the scientists said. I'm not talking to you about what the philosophers say. I'm not giving you some holy platitude from the lips of a religionist. I'm giving you the word of God. This same Jesus will come again. So you see, beloved, it is not a question of if Jesus shall return. The question is simply, when will Jesus come again? Well, there are many things that are happening in our day that are setting the stage for his coming. When I read of the crime and the violence in our own city and in our own community, when I read about the slaughter on the highway, when I read about the apostate preachers all over the country and around the world, I know the stage is being set for the return of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said the days prior to his return would be like the days of Noah and Lot. We are witnessing those days today. Jesus said the days prior to his return would be characterized by lawlessness. We are living in the age when there is no disrespect for law. When there is no respect for law and no respect for authority. These are days of lawlessness that we're living in today. And these are the days that characterize the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said the days prior to his coming, there would be mental and moral decadence. And these are the days of mental and moral decline. Jesus said the days prior to his return would be characterized by apostasy and by unbelief. We gave you in the message, where is the promise of his coming? The word of the skeptic, the scoffer, the doubter. Where is the promise of his coming? Beloved, we're living in a day when men do not believe. We are witnessing that day today. There are more scoffers and skeptics and doubters in the world than they've ever been. I know there are a lot of people going around with this sign on their back or this word on their lip about this experience or that thing or the other. But by and large, the world is doubting the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the religious world is not looking for the return of the Son of Man. Our world system, beloved, is headed for a blast, a holocaust, a crash, an explosion. But we should not despair. We should not be anxious. We should not be overwhelmed. We should not be despondent. The Bible tells us that in the midst of all of this consternation and chaos and confusion, we should take courage. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. The question is not, what is this world coming to? The question is, who is coming to this world? And I am happy to answer to you without any hesitation, without any reservation. I am happy to report to you that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. The Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag contains these words. One Savior, crucified, buried, risen, living, and coming again. I want to tell you this morning that our only link, our only bridge to sanity in an insane world is the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, in the words of the title of my series of messages, look up, Christian, Christ is coming. Oh, beloved, if we would live out our lives in view of that great faith that we have and that great hope that we embrace, Jesus Christ is going to return. When Jesus Christ returns, many people will be surprised. Every apostate skeptic, every unbelieving liberal will be surprised. I gave you the facts, the statistics the other day. That survey that was taken among the leading so-called seminary students in our land, 98% of them said they did not believe that Jesus Christ was coming again. God have mercy. If Christ tarries, he's coming much longer. God have mercy on the so-called churches who will have to endure so-called preaching by these apostates. 98%, no, we do not believe Christ is coming. They're going to be surprised, beloved. They're in for a rude awakening. Christ is coming. The Bible says he's coming. He said he was coming. I believe he's coming. I preach he's coming. Yes, there are going to be some surprised people when Jesus comes. Every unregenerate, Christ-rejecting sinner will be surprised when Jesus comes. A lot of church members are going to be surprised when Jesus comes, especially if he comes on Sunday night. You heard me. I said, especially if he comes on Sunday night. A lot of church members are going to be surprised. When Jesus Christ returns, he is going to discover a great falling away. Did you ever? Have you ever known it to be like it is? So many people are denying the faith. So many people are living their lives as though they had never heard this Bible. They had never heard about Christ, as though they had never heard the truth. I'm talking about saved people now. Oh, they'll go up in the rapture if they're saved, but they're sure going to be surprised. Many are turning away. I could give you name after name, family after family, in my short 11 years at this church, who at one time were on the firing line. They were visiting, they were attending, they were giving, they were going, they were praying, they were looking for the coming of Christ, but today they're looking for everything else but his coming. A great day of apostasy, a great falling away. Did you know that less than half of the members of the average church ever attend church on Sunday morning? Did you know that less than one-fifth of the average church ever, church members, ever attend on Sunday night? And less than one-sixth of all church members ever attend on Wednesday night? Less than 5% of all church members have ever won a soul to Christ. Are you in those statistics? Do you make up those lesser figures? Then, beloved, I admonish you to change that in your life. I admonish you to get on the firing line. I admonish you to dress up as a soldier of the cross and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and let's do something for Christ. No wonder we read in Luke chapter 18 at verse 8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? If Christianity continues the rate it's been going for the last 25 years, you'll understand the meaning of that verse. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? When he returns, he will discover apostasy, unbelief, falling away, skepticism. When Jesus Christ returns again, the door of opportunity will be closed and the day of grace will be ended. In this hour and in this age, men have every chance to be saved, every opportunity to be saved. There's no excuse for a man going to hell from Fort Worth or Dallas. There's been enough gospel preached in these two metropolitan areas to save the world. We're in the midst of the Bible Belt. I repeat, there is no excuse for a man saying he's never heard the gospel in this area. We're living in a day of opportunity. The invitation is to all men. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I read in the Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." The welcome mat is out. The red carpet of God's grace stretches to the door of every member of Adam's sin-cursed race. No man can say, "I've never heard it," in our enlightened area and in our enlightened country. I repeat, the welcome mat is out. The red carpet is stretched forth. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. Let him come and buy without money and without price." God is in the saving business today. The gospel is being preached today. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the sun will forever set on the day of grace, and the world will be plunged into eternal darkness. When Jesus Christ comes, the door of opportunity will be forever closed, shutting out all of those who have spurned the mercy of Christ. Did you know that the time element is one of the most important elements in your salvation? Oh, you say, "But preach, I've got all the time I need." Who said so? "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." There's one thin heartbeat between you and hell if you're without Christ this morning. There's one heartbeat between you and judgment, whatever your status is this morning. The day of opportunity, the day of grace, will soon cease at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with men." God says, "Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." God says, "Come, for all things are now ready. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Today is the day. Jesus Christ will return. And what about the resurrection and the rapture? I know something about death this morning. I first became acquainted with death when my mother went to be with the Lord when I was just a child. 11 years ago, I stood by and said goodbye to my dad when the death angel came. I know something about death. You know something about death. I have gone to yonder's grave many a time and said the last words over a friend, a church member, and even a stranger. I know something about death. And the Bible tells us about the death of the saved and the unsaved. Jesus gives us a striking story about the rich man and Lazarus, and he defines the eternal destiny of both. One, Lazarus. He died and was taken by the angels to heaven. The rich man died, and the Bible says, in hell. Now, I know we don't have much hell preaching anymore. We're afraid it's going to frighten us. God knows we need to be frightened. We're afraid it's a little bit old-fashioned, but it's just as newfangled as it was when Jesus talked about it 2,000 years ago. I said the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, torments. The Bible declares it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Death is no respecter of persons. The young die as well as the old. Who knows but the coffin may already be made that will contain your body? Who knows but what the preacher has already his sermon to preach your funeral? Who knows but the undertaker has already rehearsed your services? Don't frighten me, preacher. I wish I could.
Amen.
I don't know of anything that frightens people anymore. I don't believe some people would be frightened if the devil himself came down that aisle. Some people would not be frightened. But let me tell you the truth, whether you're frightened or unfrightened, whether you care or do not care, whether you believe or do not believe, every man without Christ is going to hell. And that's the truth, because the book of God says so. That means you, mister. Whatever your name is, wherever you live, whatever your job is, if you don't have Christ, you're headed for hell. But wait, I also know something about the resurrection. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. As sure as there is a night of death, there's a morning of resurrection. Of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only one who can boast a founder who lived and died and lives again. Jesus said, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am now alive and have the keys of death and of hell. I know something about the resurrection. I know what the Bible says. The Bible tells me that the first thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes will be out at yonder's grave, where so many tears of sorrow and heartache have been shed. There will the first thing happen when Jesus comes. Jesus said, because I live, he shall live also. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Thank God we're going to conquer death one of these days. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And the only way death can be destroyed is by the conqueror of death, the resurrection and the life, the Lord Jesus. The Bible is full of doctrine all the way through it. But there are certain sections that contain what we call textus classicus. That means classical texts. For example, the textus classicus for love is 1 Corinthians 13. The textus classicus for faith is Hebrews 11. The classical text for the Holy Spirit is John chapter 14. The textus classicus for the resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15, together with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I share a brief portion of both of them with you. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ will return. There will be a resurrection. there will be a rapture. Caught up together, raptured, taken away into the glory world. Are you ready for his return? The storm is about to break. I read a story about Dr. Harry Ironside that thrilled my soul. In the long ago, Dr. Ironside did some missionary work among missions in the pioneering stages of our country. One day he got on board a horse-drawn wagon with some Indians to go to an untouched area. It was about sundown. Over the horizon, they saw a large cloud billowing up. The Indians knew what it meant. And the driver of the wagon said to Dr. Ironside, "Doctor, hold on as fast as you can. I'm going to drive her just as hard as she'll go." And Dr. Ironside said he meant it, because he drove her just as hard as she'd go. And I held on. And a little while we saw what he'd been telling us about all along. He said, "There's a rock out there. If we can just make it to the rock, if we can just make it to the rock, we'll be safe in the storm." Dr. Ironside said, "I was holding on for my life. And before I knew it, I saw a huge stone 50 feet, a big rock 50 feet high against the horizon." He said, "You know, when we got there, when we arrived, the driver didn't stop the wagon. He kept on going in a cave right in the side of the rock. And the storm broke loose, and we heard the thunder, but we were safe. And after the clouds had passed, the Indians struck up that old hymn, 'Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.' Mister, let me tell you, the storm is about to break. The storm clouds are gathering, and the only safe place is in the Rock of Ages, Jesus Christ." Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank thee for that blessed hope, the return, the resurrection, and the rapture. We thank thee that thou hast made it possible for us to have this truth in the framework of thy word. Now, Father, I pray for those who may be here today who have never trusted Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit would so convict them that they could not leave this place without Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there are those who are uncertain and unsure, in doubt about their own personal relationship to thee and their readiness for the coming of Christ, may they step out this morning and get that assurance of their salvation. For those who, Heavenly Father, need a church home, need a place to anchor, a place to serve, a place to be identified, a place to worship, a place to call my own, a pastor, a people, help them to come this morning to unite with a fellowship of Worth Baptist Church. And dear God, we pray that you'd send us revival. May we live in view of the coming of Christ, and may revival be our experience. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed, in a moment the choir will offer an invitation appeal. Let me speak frankly, honestly, forthrightly to your heart. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're on dangerous ground. Oh, you say, "But preacher, I'm this and that and the other, and I've been baptized and I've learned the catechisms and I've gone..." Oh, I don't mean that. I mean, have you had a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit? Do you really know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Discounting all other things, do you know Christ is in your heart? If not, I want you to come and trust Him. If you're here this morning and you feel the need of prayer as a saved person, as a Christian, I want you to come. Just have a prayer in your heart you want to pray. Come on about this altar and pray it. If you want to become a member of this church by letter from another Baptist church, by baptism, or on your statement of having been scripturally baptized under the auspices of a Baptist church, I want you to come. While your heads are bowed, I'll be on the floor at the front. While the choir sings and while you pray, who'll be first to come?